We are ensconced, as always, inside the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue, well-appointed not only by our friends at Allstate, but by the good folks at Tree Time, making it very holiday-ish in here now. Oh, it's so very exciting. We have a big show planned for you tonight. We want you to get involved, because it's always more fun when you do. 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text. When you call in, of course, you'll be talking to Cody. I can't believe I didn't have to take the bus to Rockford for Thanksgiving golf. He is the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. If you're nice to him, you get to me. And if you want to keep up with us on social media, why not? All the kids are doing it. That's how you brand yourself. Nothing happens unless it's on social media. Brian Noonan, a show on Facebook and Twitter. So that's all the ways to get a hold of us. No Karen Conti tonight, so if you have a legal problem, well, you're up the creek, because I can't help you. I'll give you legal advice, and it'll be worth exactly what you pay for it. But Karen is vacationing in some sunny locale, so she will not be with us tonight. But have no fear. We still have a lot to get to. We'll talk a little bit about security tips for Cyber Monday. We're going to have an installment of Old Man Music History. We will have our good friend, singer, artist, bon vivant, just all-around good woman, Jess Godwin, will be in here at 7 o'clock talking about her latest projects. Some very exciting news for her as well. And then after 8 o'clock, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Dakotas and at Standing Rock, because you don't hear too much about it, and I'm wondering why. So we'll get to that and some other things. So a lot to do, just a cursory round the horn about Thanksgiving, because we'll get into more Thanksgiving tales on the web exclusive podcast, which of course we will do after this show finishes up. So at 9 o'clock, we'll go live on Facebook for the first part of the web exclusive podcast, and then the rest of it will be posted at WGNradio.com. There's a 3-hour in advance tease. Cody, what'd you think of that? Pretty good. I am a professional broadcaster.
When? Since when?
Well, since they pay me to be here. That I'm not saying that. That's what makes you a professional, when somebody pays you to do something.
Interesting.
And years of training and experience.
Can you then not be a professional troll?
Oh, you're not a professional troll.
No, but what I'm saying is, can one, because most people don't get, it's not really a paid position, right? You say
to
if you're
a troll,
professional once you're paid.
I believe so, yes.
So there's no such thing as probably a professional.
No, there's just career jerks.
Oh.
That's what I would rather call them.
Career jerks.
A career troll, or just a sad sack of a human being.
Wow.
That's what we'll go with. How was your Thanksgiving? Just a brief cursory, good or bad? Thumbs
delicious
up or thumbs down?
Delicious and full.
All right, still full. Roger, you were you here? You weren't here.
Yeah, I was
working. Here.
Yep.
When were you here?
Wednesday night and Thursday night.
Oh, so you came in after I left.
I was traffic.
I skedaddled. You were traffic?
Yeah, I was Esmeralda.
Really?
Yeah.
In traffic central?
In traffic central.
Did it throw you off?
No.
Who was doing news?
Actually, I did everything from in here.
Okay.
Because...
Oh, you were doing news as well?
No, I was just in here keeping an eye on things and helping people if they needed help.
Wow.
And just being a support.
Were you giving an envious eye to the person doing news?
Not one.
Was there some sort of...
I was eyeing the food that was left here.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that.
It came after you.
Yeah.
Well, Thursday night, Patty brought in leftovers.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I left at 7. Nobody was here. Food was here.
Well, wait, there were some ribs here Thursday night. Left down in the green room.
Well,
who left those?
Those ribs were here when I got here.
Oh, oops.
So those ribs may have been left over from Thanksgiving morning with Dave Plyer, because those ribs, when I came down, there was like 3/4 of a slab of ribs and a half-eaten, like, McMuffin-type sandwich.
Yeah. It was still there when at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, that had been there for a good 12 to 16 hours. By the time you saw it. So
yeah, it was...
I hope you enjoyed them.
I'm sure you ate them with
a lot of fervor.
Somebody deposited them in the circular file cabinet.
Yeah, they should have been gone a long time ago. But listen, and I hate to say this, I'm not cleaning up somebody else's food. If you get food delivered to your show, it's your responsibility to clean up after yourself.
Yeah.
I hate to say that. I love saying that.
I should say that. Yeah, slobs, clean up after yourself. Wow. I went heavy there, didn't I?
Yeah,
it was supposed to be good. It was supposed to be good-hearted. Well, listen. Let's all right. Now that we're into it, let's get into it.
We're into it, Roger.
It's not you. We're only going to take this for a minute because we got Old Man Music. We came in tonight, and first of all, thank you to whoever on the staff bought the bottled water. Even though I brought my own, somebody brought some bottled water.
That was nice.
That's beautiful because there's a little refrigerator back in the producer room, and it's for guests, you know, because a lot of time guests will come in and they'll say, "Oh, do you have some water?" And because we're, you know, a major radio station in the third largest media market in the country, of course we say, "No, we don't have any water." But somebody brought water, which again, I think that's terrific. Whoever did that, Somebody partook in a half a bottle of water.
Oh, no.
And then left the other half of the bottle of water sitting on the floor next to the door leading out of the studio.
What?
Cody, am I lying?
Wait, on the
floor right by the door.
Feels weird.
If they were walking out with a bottle of water and went, this is way too heavy to carry, and push the door at the same time. So what I'm going to do is drop this bottle.
Oh,
and
no.
Then exit the studio post-haste.
Oh, God.
And then forget that they have left their water bottle behind. So that's exactly... This is what we walk into.
Mm.
This is the... And I know if you're going to work at some real job, you're probably thinking, if that's the worst you have to deal with,
mm-hmm.
you are soft. And I will agree 110%. But we all have our cross to bear at our jobs. And us finding three-day-old food and water bottles scattered about.
Half-drunk.
Half-drunk water bottles just laying on the floor. I don't know. And the studio looks so festive.
It does.
I don't know who would come into their own home decorated for Christmas in such a way and then just discard water bottles all over. Am I overreacting?
No.
Probably.
I always like the paper cups or whatever, the foam cups that we have here.
We have cups?
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be for the coffee.
Cody, what coffee? Cody, why haven't I been notified about any of these developments? That now we have coffee in cups.
Yeah.
How would I know any of this stuff?
But that's true.
They leave the cups.
You probably know the call letters.
I'm here less than you.
That's true.
They leave cups around by the microphones, half filled with water or some sparkly drink or coffee, and it's just left there.
Tell engineering, because that is a no-no.
Yeah, I know.
That's a bozo no-no, kids, to put liquids near your electronics.
Well, but they do that for the guests. They bring it into the studio, and they
sure.
want to drink on, you know,
of
while they're
course.
In there.
And I think doing that for the guests is wonderful.
Yeah.
But let's be honest.
Well, clean up.
We are a station populated by slobs.
No.
Yeah, most people.
Not everybody.
No, that's not true. Not everybody. Some people. Some people don't clean up after themselves.
Well,
you know what? I think it's not just the staff. At the play, Tony and Tina, some cast members who like to chew gum during the performance, which is fine.
In character,
yeah, that's great. But let me ask you this. If you unwrap some small pieces of Trident and pop them in your mouth to chew while you're during the performance, where would you discard those paper wrappers?
Should go in the garbage can.
Wrong. Right on the floor.
Oh.
Yep. That's it. Right on the floor. So
should carry a sign with you. I'm not your mother. I don't clean up after you.
I shouldn't have to.
I know.
Because I'm a grown man in a developed country where we should know that garbage goes in the garbage can.
Yeah.
If we were in Calcutta, you could just throw anything wherever you want. Last time, Cody, just double checking. You know I'm out of the loop sometimes. We are not in Calcutta, correct?
Not to my knowledge.
All right, thank you. Then I stand by my statement.
Must be been annexed.
We could be. Who knows? All right, listen. Enough of this. I am ruining the holiday weekend right now.
Have you vented enough?
My rants. Well, no, I've got till 9 o'clock.
Well,
and then
we've
got the podcast.
Okay,
so I've got a lot on my plate, and I plan on scraping it. You know where I'm going to scrape it? Right into the trash can. I'm not going to just leave my plate on the floor, hoping that rodents, a dog, some wayward, toddler will just wander by and eat it up. So we'll do this, and then we'll lighten the load with, what could be one of our signature segments that everybody clamors for once or twice a decade. This date in old man music history. We'll get to that after this on WGN. You probably have these people at your office. You go into work and you see, Bob from accounting, his stuff is everywhere again. Or it's the same people who leave all the stuff in the refrigerator. Every workplace has these people who always think someone else will clean up. The problem is there's a wonderful team of custodians here in Tribune Tower. So I guess people just figure, well, we'll just leave it for them. Forgetting that, yeah, it's a holiday weekend, so they're probably working different shifts as well. So maybe the ribs that you left here at 6 a.m. shouldn't still be here at midnight. It's just me. I'm crazy. Cody, this is very exciting because we are about to go into one of our signature segments. People are clamoring for it. People come up to me all the time, say, are you going to do that again so we know when to listen? And I say, yes, of course. If you haven't heard This Date in Old Man Music History, oh, my goodness. This is a segment where an aging newsman finds some obscure song from this date many years ago and then gives us way too much information about it. That's right. It's This Date in Old Man Music History, brought to us exclusively on the Brian Noonan Show or whenever Roger's on some other show and decides to do it, forgetting where it belongs. But that's okay. Here he is, the man who will take any opportunity to plug some obscure music, the one and only Roger Badish.
Thank you, sir, very much. It's always a pleasure bringing you the the greatest and latest hits of the ages on old man music history.
Wow, the intro is getting longer and longer.
How about that?
You must not have much to say about the song.
Well, actually, I do.
Oh, please then.
Actually, I think this song will sound even more old man music-ish than the one you just played.
I don't know if that's even
possible. It's possible because 50 years ago today.
Wow.
This.
You were only 17.
Were you born then?
Barely.
Oh, okay. Cody? No, never mind.
Cody. Yeah, Cody was in his 20s. People think Cody's young. He's really old.
He's very old. He needs an assistant to help him.
That's why I keep him around, because if I fire him, it's going to be, I'm going to get like some age discrimination suit against me. Even though I, first of all, let me clarify, I don't have the power to fire Cody or
no,
anybody.
<you don't. laughs>
But I could act like I did.
Right.
I could Bigfoot him enough to management where finally he'd just get browbeaten and walk away.
There you
but
go.
But I can't do that. Anyway.
But see, if he walks away on his own, then you don't have to, there's no problem. There's no legal issues.
Well, with my boot wedge firmly behind.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
50 years ago today.
Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play? No?
No, not that kind of oldie music. This was the number one hit by the new vaudeville band. This song is called Winchester Cathedral. It was put together in the studios, actually, with a session band.
Sure, because nobody would play this live.
And it was just a one-off song.
Are you telling me the new vaudeville band didn't go on to have numerous hits?
Well, they had some chart makers,
but
not hits.
You can turn it down a little bit, Roger.
They didn't have hits like this one.
No, this was, you said number 27?
No, this was number one.
Number one on the pop. Wow. Number one.
Number 50 one.
50 years
50
ago.
50 years ago
I do
today.
I've heard this song before. There's some lyrics.
Right here.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, yeah. You're bringing me down. It's like Walter Winchell.
Well, he's kind of singing through a
all right, we better turn it off because I think we're going to have to pay
we're
for it
already there soon. On the time, yeah.
But we've talked over it, most of it.
Yeah, so this was Jeff Stevens put this together. It was a novelty song, as we mentioned, and it was kind of a tribute to Rudy Valley and the old bands of those days. Valley used to sing through a little megaphone, and it sounded like that.
All right. Somebody from the 708, in capital letters, very excited. I know that song. I know. Yes, if we were playing Name That Tune, how excited that person would be that they would have gotten Winchester Cathedral by the old vaudeville
new. No, the new vaudeville band. Yeah. And they actually, it became so popular, obviously, number
how
one song.
Was it?
Well, it was number one here, number four in England, where he's from. And it was so popular, he had to tour. And so they put out one album of the tour.
Oh, my.
Then he came back later and wrote and recorded a few other songs that were popular in England, never charted here over in the States. And that was that. It was a very novelty kind of thing.
Well, there you go. So number one song 50 years ago. That is, that's incredible. And once again, that's This Date in Old Man Music History. Brought to you exclusively on the Brian Noonan Show. Roger, we'll be hearing from our lawyers because he has taken this and, you know, anytime he pops up on another program, he's always happy to do it. But that, listen, we don't begrudge Roger giving his musical history somewhere else. So thank you, Roger. That's his Ain't No Man Music History. All right, on the other side of the news, Roger will do his real job. I don't know what that is. Roger will do something. He'll probably read some news or just some such. Maybe give traffic and weather, too. He does it all on Sunday nights, Cody. He's very, very, very busy. As my mom said to me today in a text, Roger is busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
That's pretty darn busy.
I don't know why my mom decided to use that metaphor while she was...
It was very popular 50 years ago today.
Sure. As she was listening to Winchester Cathedral
yes.
and singing along, I don't know what... but I'm obviously busier than a one-armed paper hanger, as is Roger here on WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. I hope your Thanksgiving weekend was a wonderful... We were very busy here and busy all over. And again, we will be giving you some details. Oh, I know Cody has a couple stories. He's all very busy over Thanksgiving. We'll share all of those on our web-exclusive podcast, which will commence immediately following this here broadcast at 9 p.m. We'll go to Facebook Live for the first part of it, and then we will continue what will be posted later on WGNRadio.com, which is where you can find all our podcasts, by the way. Is that correct, Cody?
Am I correct?
And WGN Plus is where you can find Cody's other podcast, because he moonlights as well. This show does not sustain all of us. So Cody does Game Life Balance US, and you can find that on WGNPlus.com.
Look at that, terrestrial plug.
Bang.
For my WGN Plus program.
It's you know why? Because let's be honest, it's a sad night here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Not sad, but bittersweet. This is our final Sunday show for 2016. Now, somebody heard us mention this last week, and they panicked. And I actually had a couple people come up to me this week. My hand to God, I said, we heard last week, are you done? I said, no, we're just, the Blackhawks are playing a lot of Sunday night games from now through the holidays. And so this is our last Sunday night show until New Year's Day. So we will be back on New Year's Day. However, we will continue to give you fresh content as only we can. Freshly cooked, unbelievably hot content at WGNRadio.com. So much so, in fact. And Roger, we'll have to tell you, we're telling you about this now, so mark your calendar.
Okay.
On Wednesday, December 21st, we will be doing our Holiday Spectacular. It will be in podcast form, but part of it will be on Facebook Live. And yes, it will include onesies.
Ooh.
Yes, I teased that last week.
I saw you.
Cody thought I was kidding. I did find myself a onesie, and I am ready to. So we're gonna have hot chocolate. We'll have fun. We'll have a whole big thing. We'll probably have some adult beverages. Who knows what we'll have?
Probably have some adult beverages.
But it will be because usually we do the big holiday spectacular here. Well, we can't do it here because the Blackhawks are playing. You'll be hearing a lot of me throughout the holidays in for Roe and for Bill and Wendy. So that's terrific. But this is the last Sunday show until January 1st. So that's weird.
That's one way to ring in the new year.
Well, we're going to come in hungover and happy. And think about it. We're going to have so much to talk about. You just won't know where to begin.
Yeah.
3 hours will not be enough. We'll have to tell Kogan and the old-timey radio folks to just cool their heels
until
we're done. And that's how that's going to do. All right, after 7 o'clock, our good friend, a singer, songwriter, artist, and all-around good human being, Jess Godwin, will be in here. She has some wonderful friends coming in from the Dancers Awareness Project, and they're all going to talk about a new project that they've been working on together. You don't strike me as a brick-and-mortar shopper, Cody. Would I be close to correct on that?
You're mostly correct. Can I tell you why?
Yes, please.
And you can relate to this.
I relate to anything that's negative.
I literally cannot go clothes shopping because of my height.
What do you mean?
If I go into a store and I want to try on pants or try on a shirt, I can't do it.
Well, what's your inseam?
36.
Oh, 36?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a 34, 36.
Okay.
They don't carry 36 most
they
places.
They don't.
When I used to buy dress pants at Express, I'd go in and try them on for the waist, and I'd order offline for the 36 because they didn't stock them in store. So it's not my fault.
No, and I have that with sleeve length. Because my pants, I'm only a 34, but my sleeve length is long.
Mm-hmm.
So in the summer, it's fine. But once it gets to winter, So you shop online. Are you all excited for Cyber Monday? Are you gearing up? Will you be part of the estimated 122 million Americans that are expected to take part in Cyber Monday?
I'll look at the deals, but let's be honest. Everything is so cheap these days anyway, marked down-wise. Amazon,
always.
Everything's always 40% off. So what are they going to do?
It's not like the old days where there were one or two sales and you had everything. We had this discussion last week. My wife had to get, she had to get our Christmas cards done because the website we went through was having a 40% off sale. And I said, all right, but you know what? If we don't get them done tonight, I guarantee you there's going to be another sale. No, there's not. Okay. The next day I forwarded her the email that said 50% off and 10 free cards plus free shipping.
Wow.
Yep. I said, all right, well, I'm glad we jumped on the 40% off because it wasn't the money. It was just like everybody is trying to sell you something. So everybody is going to be marking things down from now until it used to be like the week before Christmas. If you hadn't taken advantage of sales, you were done. Back when I worked at Marshall Fields, you knew that the last big sale was that weekend before Christmas. So if you waited any closer, you weren't getting any deals. But now, you go online, there's deals every day, like you said. Everything.
And the deals they push on Black Friday, I've read, for example, high-end TV sets,
right.
They sell models with cheaper parts.
Mm-hmm.
They sell subpar models anyway. So, yeah, I can get an extra discount on this TV, but it's a crappier model.
Right. You have to go with one of the big names. I saw an interesting that you brought this up. I was watching the news this morning, as I'm wont to do on a Sunday, as I enjoy my coffee out of my big Avengers coffee mug. And I throw in the details so people feel like they're there with me.
I feel like I'm right there.
You're right there, sitting at my table, big cup of steaming coffee, my Avengers mug, all the Avengers on there.
All the Avengers. Too much detail. Now I'm in your lap.
All right.
You gotta move some.
Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm wearing a onesie. Maybe I'm not. But I'm watching the news, and they were saying, you know, now you're getting these huge deals, and the prices of TVs have dropped and dropped. So you look, and maybe there's a difference between, they singled out like Samsung, LG, Sony as the better models. And they said, so maybe there's a $100 difference between a 50-inch Samsung and a 50-inch off-brand. Spend the $150, because most people, they said, are keeping their TVs for 8 to 10 years. And so the little bit of money you're spending up front now, you're getting better quality, like you said, you're getting better pay, all of that. So sometimes you have to look long. We actually, I don't think she's listening, I made an electronics purchase this week. And it was one of those deals, but it was one of the good brands, and it was a good price based on what, because I have the same thing, and so, you know, but I don't think I'm shopping tomorrow. I've done most of my shopping already, both brick and cyber. But people are getting ready. They say more than 154 million consumers went shopping over the Thanksgiving weekend. That was up from 151 million last year. So people were out. I did have to go into the. I bought my onesie on Black Friday, and that was a horror show. Only because, so I'm on the phone with somebody, and I don't pay attention to people. So I'm on the phone with a friend of mine. He's on speakerphone, and he's yammering on about something. And in my mind, I'm like, oh man, I got to get a onesie. So I Google adult men's Christmas onesies, and up pops this ad, and I see that they've got this onesie drastically reduced at this store at the mall. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want to go to the mall on Black Friday. But I was going to pick something else up near the mall. So I thought, all right, how bad can it be? I need one item. That's all. Should be easy. And I should have saved this story for the podcast. Too late.
Maybe you just teased the podcast. Maybe you finished the...
Yeah, maybe I have. What happened to me when I went to the mall?
We'll tell them that you'll just, yeah.
Oh, we'll tell them there.
Pick it up then.
All right, so I mentioned that we have some, I'll tell you the rest of the story on the podcast. That's how we go. Now I'm sure the boss are going to go, listen, you can't do that. You got to give them the content on the radio, and then they'll come to the podcast.
You give them some content.
I've given them content.
We got so much content.
You know the beginning of the story, and you know the end of the story, because I already told you I got the onesie. So was this trip successful? Of course it was. What happened in the interim? That's where things get dicey.
How many bodies are lying in the aisles? What people want to know.
Well, they'll know. They'll know. They're also going to know some tips on cyber safety. I want to hear from you. If you are ready, have you been stalking these deals? Are you ready? I have some of Amazon's. They've unveiled some of their Cyber Monday deals. Of course they did. There's no state secrets anymore. People are sending out their Black Friday flyers in October. Right after Halloween, it's like, hey, guess what? We got Black Friday deals coming up. Thanksgiving deals, Cyber Monday deals, they're all coming. Okay. Remember when you used to have to wait and the paper would come on Thanksgiving and you'd be like, I got to look at the ads. And you'd pull out all the ads to find out what was coming. Or the day before, Cody never read the paper.
No, I've read the paper when I was in Rockford.
So, but like the Wednesday of Thanksgiving, that's when you'd get the ads.
Exactly.
And that's when you'd find out. It's like when you had to wait. Roger will remember this. When you had to wait for the Sears catalog to come so you knew what to ask for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Because you didn't know. We didn't know ahead of time.
Monkey Wards and Sears.
Yeah, we were not in this 24-hour bombardment of advertising and marketing. There were nobody was looking at our trends. Nobody's analyzing data of my shopping patterns.
Nope.
I was just some goof who wanted Rock'em Sock'em Robots, that's all.
There you go.
Now the kids are trending. They got all sorts of asterisks and hashtags. They don't have asterisks, do they?
I mean, they could.
Unless they missed a holiday. What'd you get for Christmas 2016? Just an asterisk. I was suspended. I got nothing. PEDs. All right, let's do this. So we'll give you these tips, and I'll tell you some of what's going on sale at Amazon tomorrow. And if you want to chime in, always, always welcome. 312-981-7200. Wow. What's the chances of that? I just randomly flail at the screen to hit a song, and it's the same song we bumped back with last time. What are you going to do? You can never get enough Ramones, that's what I say. I've often complained that we don't play enough Ramones here on WGN.
You complain to me about that all the time.
I say, Cody, can we play more Ramones? And you say, no, I think once every 6 weeks is enough to play 12 seconds of the Ramones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, all right, you sure we can't up that? Maybe one, two?
It's nothing? Negotiable.
Well, now, listen, I did it now because we're not here for the rest of the year. Doesn't that sound weird on November 27th? We're not here for the rest of the year?
To be fair, Christmas is on Sunday, and that's why we're not on in.
Correct, yeah. Well, yeah. I was going to say we took Christmas off, but they run all the specialty programming, so we wouldn't have been on anyway.
And if they didn't, I would take it
I
off.
I would have taken it off,
I mean,
too.
Come on. Sorry, but...
Listen, I'm dedicated, and I love being here, but
I
love Christmas and my family.
And we have worked Christmas night before.
Yes.
We used to do a couple overnights where I'd come in at 2 a.m.
Right.
The night of Christmas.
Yeah, and Christmas Eve.
With you.
I'm not complaining. That's just how it is. All right, if you're going to do some cyber shopping tomorrow on Cyber Monday, you can never get enough cyber safety tips, I think. Because at this point, if most of us don't know how to be safe on the Internet, there's a part of me that says, well, maybe you get what you ask for. But then I think it's the Ruskies. So no matter how safe you are, the Russians and the Chinese, I hear they're hacking into everything. And some guys and people in their basements. So between those three groups of hackers, you never know what to do to be too safe. This is a big one. And when I talked to the head of the Better Business Bureau, he echoed this, and people are echoing this all the time. Don't use the sketchy wireless networks. You ever use a sketchy wireless network, Cody?
What does that mean?
It means, you know, when you're out somewhere and you open up your phone and it'll say, join this network to use your Wi-Fi on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And something will say, like, maybe it'll say Trib Tower Guest. Well, that's a secure one, and we'd give you the password, and you'd be safe. But maybe you're out at a cafe, or you're at the food court at the mall, or you're, you know, in pick your place, and something comes up, might not be too secure, these free Wi-Fi networks.
But I was grandfathered into Sprint's unlimited data, so I don't have to worry about Wi-Fi.
Me too.
There's other people that they got to pay.
Right, I know, so. But so you have to, well, here's the thing. They say just be careful of these Wi-Fi hotspots because if the network is a fake one, security professionals say it is a honeypot. There's a term for you. Meant to lure in the unsuspecting. Oh, like Winnie the Pooh and all the bad technological people. They get lured in. So to guard against these honeypots, look for signs around the mall, the store, the airport that include the Wi-Fi network name and make sure you're using the legitimate one. And also be very careful, even if you're on a legitimate network, because public Wi-Fi is not secure. So don't be entering a lot of financial information. Sounds like it should be self-explanatory, but it's not. This Debbie got buzzed. Oh, Debbie got burned at work because she had ordered something that was supposed to be delivered, say, by UPS or something. Well, it was a fake one because it said tracking for your UPS order. And she was like, oh, I ordered something from UPS that I'm waiting to have delivered. And she clicked on the link. Oh, it was fake. Her entire work network was infected by a virus.
No.
Her IT guys were like, yeah, it's happened before. It's been worse than this, but just don't. So the whole office was down for a little bit with these viruses because she fell for the package delivery notice scam. Phishing emails that try to get you to click on a link that can install malicious software on your computer are a perennial problem. Intel Security says that they've seen an uptick in fake delivery notices. So even if, like, I know I've ordered some things now, and I'm like, normally the ones that come to the inbox, I could see, you know, they give you a lot of detail in the email so you know. The ones that go right to your spam folder, those are usually the fake ones.
Yikes.
Either way, be careful because it's crazy. Don't leave your credit card number in a site. If you order something, Cody, if you order me something nice, I don't know, from Pro Flowers or wherever it is that you order me nice things from, you know, daily underwear delivery, whatever it is.
1-800-Flowers.
1-800-Flowers, that's a good one, too. Just don't leave your, you know, they say, hey, can we keep your credit card on file? No, of course not.
I don't let Chrome keep my credit card on
file. Nobody keeps my credit card on file because if they get hacked or breached, suddenly your information is not secure. So that's, you know, again, we should all know this, shouldn't we?
even if they don't get breached, I had a credit card on file with Microsoft just because I bought a game on Xbox Live like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I checked my credit card statement a few months ago. I had a charge for $50 for an Xbox Live Gold subscription. So I call them up, and I'm like, I haven't plugged in my Xbox in a year. Like, what is this? What happened? Did it just automatically charge me magically?
So, yes, it should.
Yeah, you gotta careful where they're on file anywhere, even if it's reputable, because sometimes they'll just...
Oh, yeah, just charge something up. Well, that's why they say read through your credit card bills. That's another cyber tip. Because sometimes hackers presume that people won't notice a $40 charge here, a $20 charge there. So they've got your number. They don't make a huge purchase that will set off an alarm, but they're slowly siphoning money off of you. Horrifying. They also say that these new programmable coffee pots and all these cool connectable devices that people are putting in their homes are just like leaving your front door open to hackers. Because if you have a connectable coffee pot that you can start from an app on your phone and you don't change the password that comes, you know, programmed into the coffee pot or pick your device, it's just an open gateway for all these hackers. So take a couple minutes, change the programming on your coffee pot, and talk to me if you have one of I don't know why you would need that. A connectable coffee pot. I'm driving home, I'm going to start some coffee from 290. I bought a coffee pot the other day that actually said on the box, this is for bare bones coffee drinkers. Nothing fancy. It's got one button that you push to turn it on and off. That's all. It's a coffee pot. It's not programming NORAD. It's not alerting me to anything. It's not regulating the temperature in my house. It's not doing a perfect pH balance in my coffee. I put water in it. It spits water through the coffee, and hot coffee comes out at the bottom.
Amazing.
That's all. I don't know what else I would need.
Minimalist.
I wish I had saved the box, because it basically says that. It's like, if you don't want to do anything but drink coffee, this is the coffee pot for you. If you don't want a clock, I have clocks all over my kitchen. I know what time it is. I have a wristwatch and a clock on my... I don't need a clock. I don't need to program it to, you know, I can take the 2 minutes to make the coffee in the morning when I get up. I don't need it ready for me. I'm not that impatient.
Do you have a smart refrigerator?
Do I look like a guy who has a smart refrigerator? The only thing smart in my house is my wife and my TV.
Ah.
Those are the only smart things in my house. I do like the smart TV, though. Because then you don't have to deal with... Once you plug in your thing, and it's probably... I don't know. I've probably been hacked a million times through my TV at this point. But you, then Netflix and stuff is right there.
My computer's hooked up to my TV. All of my video... I have like 6 devices connected with Netflix. I've got my Wii U, my PS4, my Xbox 360, my...
Well, our
computer.
Wii... On the big TV in the basement, we have Wii to use it, but it doesn't come in high def because it's an old Wii.
Ah.
So I'm watching on the big screen downstairs these low-def things on Netflix, and I go, oh. Then I go to the bedroom to the smaller TV that's high def, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you need way more def.
I need a lot of def. I don't... 1080p is not enough. I need like 2160.
Wow.
Double. I need double the HD.
Yeah, that was good math by
that
you.
That was pretty fast, wasn't it?
I've never heard you math like that before.
I usually don't math. I save it. I'm saving everything because this is the final show of 2016. Have we mentioned that enough?
Letting it go.
I'm bringing out all the guns. All the guns. All right, let's do this. And then when we come back after the news, our good friend Jess Godwin will be here. Singer, songwriter, artist, all-around good human being. And she's going to talk about some of her latest projects with some of the folks from the Dancers Awareness Project. So we'll get into all of that after 7 o'clock. Let's do this first on WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. And now we drop the beat. We're here until 9 and no Karen tonight. So if you have a legal problem, that's, well... That's your own fault. I can't help you tonight, but what I can help you is to get exposed to some more great music by our good friend, all-around wonderful human being, singer, songwriter, actress, bon vivant, fashion plate, and helper of animals. Jess Godwin is here. Good to see you again. This is, I don't even know where to start with you. Because you're so busy. You're doing so many cool things. Congratulations, first of all. GodwinAnthology.com is the website. That's where you need to go to get all the information, because I guarantee you we're going to miss out on some stuff tonight, because I don't even know where to start. We're going to start with the latest project, because we've talked to you a couple times about Godwin Anthology, which was a wonderful 12-part program that you did. All right, no, I'm not going to start with the latest project. All First, right. I'm going to give you some kudos, because this, how cool was this? You were an award winner, one of the three arts awards,
yes,
which are given to local artists. It's a cash endowment, and they say, you know what, you're an artist. You know what you need. Take this money and do whatever it is you need. Do you need equipment? Do you need to fund a video? Whatever it is, you do it. And they pick women, and they pick artists of color, mm-hmm. and all different kinds of people who are making a unique contribution. And you had to be nominated for that, and you were voted on that, and you won the award in October. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm still reeling. It was amazing. What's so amazing about 3Arts was beyond the $25,000 cash award, which I still cannot believe. They put you into this network of other artists and other people that want to help each other. And there's other grant opportunities. Got to work on my diction on the radio.
That's all right.
And
why should anybody worry about it?
Also residencies. And I just feel like since I got the phone call this past summer about it, I just feel like they have been wrapping me in their love, and I just feel very fortunate.
And do they tell you who nominated you?
No.
No idea who nominated you.
I want to know.
I would want to know, too, to mm-hmm. thank them or something. Well, take them out to dinner, give them a hug, make them some cupcakes, whatever it is that you do. Yeah.
No, but when they called me, I was like, oh, well, I know who I want to nominate, because I could think of all the people I want to, you know, get this award. And
they said, no, you were nominated. Yeah. So how many? They give out 11 of those?
10 awards.
10 awards, okay.
And it's just amazing. I keep saying amazing because it is.
Yeah.
But it was really cool to be able to meet the other artists who won this year as well.
And now we know you're a singer and songwriter and do video, all that kind of work. What were some of the other artists who won this award as well?
Dancers, artists, choreographers, everybody. Directors, teaching artists, people that go into the city and work on theater.
Oh, cool.
With young people. It's just... And most of the people, or all the people, just really care about making Chicago a better place and making the world a better place.
And I love the no strings attached. It's like, here, you take this cash award, and you know what to do with it.
I still can't believe it. I've been looking into other grant opportunities recently for some other things, and now that I'm realizing that most grants have strings attached, mm-hmm. Now I realize how lucky
yeah.
I was.
Yeah, the 3Arts thing was phenomenal. Well,
yeah.
Congratulations on that. For people who may not know you, who haven't heard you with us before, and you've been coming in since the overnight days, so we've been friends a while. Your career has taken a very unique trajectory.
Yeah.
So can you give people just a quick background? Because it started here, and then it went here, and then it zigged over here, and now it's somewhere else.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to start. I initially started out in theater in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I had always been writing, and I just got really excited about being myself on stage, writing and using what I wrote to connect other people. And that segued into songwriting. And what's been interesting the past 10 years is I'm finding that I'm not quite at home in the theater world. I'm not quite at home in the music industry. What I love doing is pave somewhere down the middle.
Okay.
And so I've been trying to pave that path. And meanwhile, I'm realizing that I always have to have a mission attached to it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the music I make, it has to contribute in some way to, like, helping other people and helping the world.
Right.
So I've been really lucky to use my music to work with different charities around Chicago and different people. The last time I was in with you, the Youth Empowerment Performance
right.
Project, young people experiencing homelessness. We did a collaboration where we recorded 100 people in Chicago who also contributed to helping YEP raise money. We also recorded the voices of YEP, and then we shot a music video, When the Snow Thaws, featuring the young people of YEP. Just beautiful, beautiful, mainly transgender young people. And so I feel like the more I work and the more I focus on helping other people through my music, the more I meet like-minded people and... Who just want to make the world better, and it's exciting.
Well, and the music business is populated with probably narcissistic is as close as I can come and still be polite, of people who it's all about them, and look at me and look what I'm doing, and there is a whole other area of the arts that can make a difference.
Absolutely.
And you've embraced that and been very successful with it, because you kind of, you know, the industry was trying to make you be one thing, and
right.
you didn't want to be that one thing.
Right. Well, they tried to make me be a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You know, I played lots of different characters. I played the misfit. I was the girl next door. I tried to be the sexy one. I was the tomboy for a bit. And all of these are image-based, because the industry is so image-based.
Yeah, it's not about, because a lot of stuff sounds the same, so it is all that prepackaged.
Right.
Here's what people want to consume.
Right.
Instead of, here's what I have to offer. Consume it if you like
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I, you know, I got tempted by the siren song so many times.
Of course.
Somebody said, you know, if you just, you wear this dress, you put this hat on, like, you're going to be successful and you're going to be able to sing in front of a lot of people. And it's hard.
All because of a hat?
All because of a hat.
Cody, give me a couple of hats.
I know, need a hat.
I need a hat.
But, you know, I got tempted so many times over and over again. And every single time, it was the wrong path. And it's really taken me this long to finally come around to be like, all right, this is not me. As much as I want it to be me, like, yeah. I want to be one of the cool kids.
Sure. Who doesn't?
But, like, it's not where I belong.
Right.
And yeah.
And there's, I've always figured, if you have to tell people you're cool, or you have to label yourself one of the cool kids, there's a really good chance you're not one of the cool kids.
Yeah.
Because cool you don't bestow on yourself.
Right.
Cool just comes. And the work that you've been doing is very cool.
Thank you. I think you're cool, too.
Well, I wasn't fishing for a compliment.
Okay.
But, Cody, mark that tape, because we're going to use that as a promo, that I'm very cool. Before we get into this newest project, Muses, which is why you have some wonderful guests here with us tonight that we're going to introduce in a minute, I just want to real quick congratulate you on another accomplishment. You did a show of Elton John songs at
yes.
Governor's State the other night.
Yes.
And the reviews have been outstanding. So now you have become, you've morphed again from a socially conscious artist to an Elton John cover band. I don't know where your transitions will stop, but what drew you, most people love Elton John's music.
Right.
What drew you to do a show like this?
Well, my friend Michael Ingersoll, who did a show with me years ago at Pegasus Players, we were in Tick, Tick, Boom together. He approached me about producing this Elton John show, and I was like, okay, that sounds cool. Because I played Elton John covers and
okay,
different
yeah.
piano bars. And the more I learned about Elton John and his music, the more it became obvious to me as to why so many people love him so much.
Yeah.
I just fell complete. I think it was Candle in the Wind.
Okay.
I sat down and played it for the first time, and I felt like he was talking directly to me.
Wow.
And the more I learned about him and his, like, need to help other people,
yeah.
you know, he came back around in the 90s after, like, struggles with isolation and depression and addiction. And, you know, his identity.
Yes.
And he came back around and started the AIDS Foundation, and it just continues to help so many people. And I feel a very strong connection to him. Also, he's a shy person.
Yeah.
And,
well, you wouldn't know that
it.
From his
yeah.
public persona.
And I feel that way. I'm an introvert.
Which people, anytime a performer says that, most people go, well, that can't possibly be. Like, they'll run into me and I'm outside of here, I really don't have much to say.
Really?
People go, yeah, what's the matter? That's just how a lot of performers
yeah.
are that way.
You save it up, right?
Right. You express yourself through whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah. So I was just, I just completely fell in love with him. I can't wait to do the show again. I'm doing it again at the Metropolis in June, and we're hoping to get a couple of shows in there between that.
Cool,
because
yeah.
it was just really fun.
Do you wear a duck suit?
I didn't wear a duck suit. I did walk on in glasses.
Okay, there you go.
And I found this gold cape. I wore a gold cape on
stage.
Did
you really?
I was
very nice.
I walked into Akira. I found a gay man and said, "Help me."
I need a gold cape.
Yeah, and we nailed it.
Come over here. We have a whole rack of them. Oh, all right. What legs would you like?
Seriously though, you go to Akira right now. The holidays. There is a rack of capes, and they're all like gold.
I don't know. I'm still stuck on the hat. The hat might be what pushes me over the top. The cape may be too much. They might say, nah, he's trying too hard. Jess Godwin is here. Her latest project, Muses, we will talk about. And the latest song is a partnership with the fine women from the Dancers Awareness Project. So we'll meet them, find out about that. We'll find out about more about Muses. And we'll give you a chance to go and see Jess at a super secret December performance. What does that sound? That sounds like a speakeasy or something. That's going to be fun. So a lot of that after this on WGN. Let's get into this. You've brought some wonderful young ladies with you because your latest project, after you finished Godwin Anthology, which you worked on for how long? That was a long project.
About a year and a half.
Oh, I should probably turn your mic on. Oh. I have everybody else's turned on.
A year and a half.
A year and a half of your life, and you finished that, and it turned out great.
Thank you.
I loved it. And so now, then you're always looking for a new project. So how did Muses come about?
I think it came from Godwin Anthology because what was exciting to me about that project was other people's stories. Mm-hmm. So it was 12 chapters and each chapter was about a different person and I made art and I baked and I wrote a song and did a video and I did a service project and I thought that I needed to streamline it a bit because it turned out to be a lot of work for me.
A year and a half, yeah.
It was a lot of work. So I thought, you know, what if I just did a song inspired by a person and cool. inspired by a coffee shop talk.
All right.
And I like an excuse to meet with friends one-on-one.
Yeah.
So I started Muses, and I'm about five videos in, and each video is a different muse.
Mm-hmm.
And I shoot the videos in my apartment.
Nice.
I made a little set in my apartment, and I put up paper from Joann Fabrics on the walls and hang things, because I like to hang things from the ceilings for my videos. But what was interesting about this last video for Shame, it's kind of a spin-off of Muses a bit, because it came from a very personal
experience. I was going to say, this. Yeah. As I was listening to that, and knowing you for the years and knowing the transitions your career has taken, I knew this was a personal story. This wasn't a coffee shop conversation.
No, I mean,
unless you've shared it with people at a coffee shop, obviously.
In all honesty, it branches off from conversation I have with my therapist.
So I
guess my therapist could be my muse for this. what has been really exciting about the Muses is the more people have opened up to me about their joy and pain and struggles, the more I felt comfortable opening up about my own.
Cool.
So I think that I was able to feel confident enough to release something that was so personal because my friends were so open themselves.
Well, we are going to hear Shame in a little bit, and it is very personal. But how did the video, how did you decide to incorporate the Dancers Awareness Project?
You know, it happened so quickly. One of my students' mothers wanted to hook me up with Ashley Rockwood, the director of the Dancers Awareness Project.
Who is here? Hello, Ashley.
She's here.
Hello.
And Ashley and I were scheduled to meet out for coffee. And the morning of, I just finished up a demo of Shame. And I met with her and I sat down. And like literally 3 minutes in, I was like, we have to work together and this is the project. And I think I might have bowled her over a bit.
Slightly.
So what was your first impression? Because here comes Jess, who is, you know, very joyful when she's talking about her projects. And here comes the energy. And what was that like?
I mean, I feel like we met each other in the same speed.
Uh-huh.
I was also like, let's do something. Sure, let's collaborate. Like, what can we do? And I feel like we just both came in at each other at the same speed.
That's true.
Came at each other. That sounds very adversarial.
Yeah. And we were like, here's our timeline, let's do it. And so I think we met like, I don't know, it was like Tuesday, and then like maybe the following like Sunday we were actually filming. I mean, it was pretty aggressive and fast.
Yeah, it was like a 2 week thing.
Like a 2 week thing.
But what was so exciting is we talked about it, and then I sent you the song.
Yes.
And then immediately you were probably back and you're like, let's do this.
Let's do it.
And I hadn't run the song by like anybody else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're the first person to hear it.
Okay. Yeah, and I actually had no idea what to expect. I mean, it's kind of...
Yes, I want to do a project.
I wrote this
for what
song.
Kind of song?
For what kind of song?
Know.
I don't know. We'll see.
It's like it's spoken word, kind of.
Yeah.
All
are
right.
Are there bongos involved? What's going on?
Exactly.
Actually, that was me beating on my chest with my hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Giving away all your trade secrets.
I know.
That's probably... Keep those close to the vest.
Makes a mediocre kick sound.
Ashley, what is Dancers Awareness Project?
So Dancers Awareness Project, I don't want to sound like repetitive of Jess, but it's essentially my organization that's all about creating impact through dance to help other people. And just specifically approaching everything that we do from a place of being good, creating good, helping other people, and putting awesomeness into the world. So it's generic in that sense, but it's an interesting way to approach your work, I think. And so for me, it's been pretty awesome.
Is it young? Because you brought a couple young ladies with you.
Yes, I did.
Introduce the ladies you brought with.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Erin Siebert.
And hi, I'm Camille.
How are you, Camille?
Good, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? You guys look very nervous. Oh, because people were looking in, weren't they?
Yeah.
It's very strange. So how long have you been dancing, Erin?
I've been dancing since I was 2 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't even walk when I was 2 years old. Congratulations. You were very advanced. And how about you, Camille? How long have you been dancing?
I've been dancing since I was 3 years old.
Wow. They started you guys young. Keeps you out of trouble, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And how did you get involved with Dancers Awareness Project?
Well, I was actually a Chicago Dance Supply...
Ambassador.
Ambassador, brand ambassador. And I met Miss Ashley. She was helping out with a lot of the projects that we were doing.
Okay.
And then she started Dancers Awareness Project, and I've just been following Miss Ashley ever since.
Yeah, I've been recruiting
kids. The Pied Piper of Dance.
Exactly.
Very nice. And how about you, Camille? How'd you get involved?
Well, I'm a student at Joffrey, and she was actually a substitute for one of the classes, and she substituted for a jazz class, and I met Ashley, and she, after class, we talked, and so that's how I became part of the Dance Awareness Program.
Very cool. And is it all young dancers like these two young ladies? Are there dancers of all ages in the project?
Yeah, so it's a community-based project. So this is specifically the Young Artist Initiative. So I work with dancers from the ages of 13 through 18 for that program. And then I work with professional dancers from different companies on all sorts of different kinds of projects. So the Young Artist Initiative is made up of 14 dancers from all different programs throughout the city of Chicago. So it's an opportunity for them to get together, work with new people, see different places, see different parts of Chicago, and collaborate together.
So when you heard Jess's song, Shame, and she sends it to you, and now you hear this, and do you immediately have an idea of how you're going to incorporate dance with the song, or did Jess say, I want you to do this, and just do what I say because I'm the boss?
Exactly. She's bossy.
Yeah.
No. Actually,
I know what I want.
She knows what she wants. It's actually, we had a really great connection,
yeah.
I think, collaboratively. So I got in the studio with the dancers. We workshopped some movement because I think that's really the best way to start. And I sent it to Jess, and she was like, this is lovely. this is really lovely. I really love it. I love your girls. I love what you're doing. We're going to be shooting this. However, we're going to be shooting this in like a, what is that? Like 4 foot by like 3 foot frame. And so I immediately it was like, okay, awesome.
I'm going to have to streamline it just a
bit. I'm going
to
have to
the sound
make
of paper
cuts.
Crumbling and notes being thrown away.
Oh, I'm going to make some cuts.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley was so generous. I think the concept for the video was something I've wanted to do for so many years because it's so image-based.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so my story of being in the industry and just growing up as a woman in general. And so I, based on like the great movement they had, I was like, oh my gosh, it actually enabled me to articulate what I finally wanted to do.
Yeah.
So Ashley and I met up on a Friday night.
Yeah.
When we were talking about like, you know, who likes to do art on a Friday night? Like me.
Who doesn't?
Right?
Yeah.
And we mapped it all out together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the dancers came in over on Sunday and we threw it together. It was amazing how fast the dancers were and how great Ashley was directing them. And we threw it together in like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to hear the song Shame and we'll talk more about it. And you can see if you go to Facebook, Jess Godwin's page, the video is there. So you can see it there and go to Godwin Anthology. It's not on there yet.
Oh, I have to put that on the
site. Got to put it on the site.
Oh, no.
But that's
YouTube
okay.
Well.
You go YouTube. Yeah. But we'll play the song. We'll talk more with Jess Godwin. We'll talk with Ashley Rockwood, who is the founder of Dancers Awareness Project, and Erin Siebert and Camille Cross, two of the lovely dancers from. Oh, was I not supposed to say your last name, Camille? You're very. Oh, she got a little.
Oh, no.
Are we not supposed
somebody
to say
looking
name?
For you.
Yeah, are you on the run?
No.
Do you owe somebody money?
You just said my mom's last name, and in our family, we have a lot of different last names.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read what I was saying.
He's just reading the paper.
I just have the notes from somebody who sent me notes.
That was my bad.
That was actually my bad.
Collective bad.
It was a collective bad.
So you know what, Camille? I'm absolved of all bad. There's all the bad.
It's all
I'm like Ron Burgundy. They put it in front of me, I read it. That's how it goes. We're going to do the news right after this on WGN.
Every day.
Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour.
The Chicago Conversation.
I'm Steve Bertrand in the WGN newsroom.
News, traffic, weather, sports.
Now WGN Sports.
Never miss a story on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, more with Jess Godwin, more with the ladies from the Dancers Awareness Project. Whatever their last names are, that doesn't really matter, does it? All right, we'll do that on the other side of the news. It's 7:30. With that news, Roger Badish. Don't worry, Jess, I have a plan. That's not the right song.
I know it's not the song.
But it was your music that we were bumping back with. See, that's how we do it at professional radio.
Oh.
I was going to say, that's Jess Godwin. That is one of the songs from Muses, but she is in here talking about another, her latest project in Muses. See, I know it doesn't look like I have a plan, but I've got this stuff down. GodwinAnthology.com is the website. That's where you can go to find out all about, hey, maybe that song I played was not the right song, with air quotes around it, just like Camille's last name was not the right last name, but it could have been, I don't know, somebody's last name. So Jess Godwin is here. So is Ashley Rockwood. She is the founder of Dancers Awareness Project. And Aaron Siebert and Camille are both here. And they are wonderful dancers from the project as well. So, all right. Now, this is how we did. Now we're going to introduce the big song.
Oh.
The one that you collaborated with these wonderful women for. And so this is, you've mentioned, Shame is a very personal story. So the other songs in Muses, kind of other people's stories that you translate into song form, and then you do the videos for. But this one is really personal, and when people hear it, they'll realize how personal it is. And Ashley, when you were talking about how you got together and you and Jess collaborated on the choreography and all of this, it's got to be hard when you're working with young women.
Yes.
Who, as you hear the song, are probably going through a lot of the issues that Jess addresses in the song. It had to be not difficult, but meaningful for you to say, all right, I got to get this right because we're all going through this.
Oh, for sure. I mean, dancers are, I'd say we're kind of tortured. Probably also ourselves. We do a little as well. These girls are
nodding
and shaking their heads.
Who tortures you, Aaron?
All of my teachers.
Always the teachers.
But
how about you,
Miss Ashley?
But not me.
Not Miss Ashley.
Not me.
Yeah, about like all my teachers in their own way.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your teacher's getting a bad rap here.
I know.
All right. So you felt that responsibility just as Jess felt the responsibility when she wrote the song. All right, Cody, are you ready? All right, we're gonna play this now. This is Jess's latest from the Muses project. It is called Shame. Enjoy it here on WGN.
Started, but it did. Never stop, never stop, never really stopped. And because I was thin, I was scared to say it. Sitting in the car, comparing my legs to my mother's, and my only friend Caitlin, saying that my teeth were yellow bits of corn. Then the boyfriends came and the boyfriends went. Are you really gonna eat that bread? Have you ever considered taking breast enhancement pills? I hear they work. Close my eyes and count to three. One, two, three. No one's going to see the shame in me if I close my eyes and count to three. One, two, three. No one's going to see the shame in me. Oh, I want to be okay with. Do theater, people dressing me in a show, giving me butt pads, boot pads, help around the hips so I could look more like a woman. Ooh, then I thought I'd write a little song or two. But music isn't music for girls anymore. It's all shoes and lips and plump and mascara, beauty tips. Cause it's all about the look. Look, labels came and the labels went. Are you really gonna wear that shirt?
You're not fat, but your arms make you look like you are. Here's a blazer.
If I close my eyes and count to three,
I thought if I made it funny, you wouldn't feel uncomfortable with my shame. If I made you laugh, then maybe you'd like me too. And I'd rather have you like me than see me. Now it's chipped away at me for far too long, and I don't even see myself anymore. And I want to, 'cause I know what I have to offer.
At Shame, Jess Godwin's latest in her project Muses. The video is in cooperation with Dancers Awareness Project. Ashley Rockwood is here. She's the founder of Dancers Awareness Project. And Aaron and Camille, two of the dancers featured in the video. You guys looked fantastic in the video. The whole thing was wonderful. Jess, very personal song, obviously.
Yeah.
Did you really hear all these things? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I can't imagine. Well, I guess I can't imagine. Anybody who puts themselves out there in any sort of art, I'm sure the girls get this. You know, you're putting yourself out there. You open yourself up for criticism. And then, unfortunately, some people internalize that criticism, and it turns into something far worse.
Yeah, I have so much to say about it.
Well, listen, I'm giving you the forum, so say
it. No, I mean, what I wrote was a really personal account of a universal experience. I mean, everybody experiences shame, and we never talk about it, which is why shame persists.
Mm-hmm.
My goal in sharing the message was to combat my own shame by talking about it. And I have to tell you that since releasing the video, I have felt so good, and I was so nervous to share the song, but I feel like I was able to take back my own power in so many ways by being like, hey, these people said these things. Probably didn't mean to say these things, but I let those things spin around in my head for 20, 30 years. But like by talking about shame, you cut off its power by the knees, and because it really only exists in silence.
And
I just think that the more we can open up and be honest with each other, the more we can see each other and love each other. And I've had a lot of people open up to me about their own accounts in the past week because we released this video, and it's been really exciting to me, really cathartic.
Well, the thing, the line that hit me the most, that it seems as if, and I know shame is universal, but your projects work for young women, which you're a woman, you're talking to young women, and that's important because young women are shamed in so many ways. While guys get shamed, it's different. It's different for young women, and they have to bear labels that guys never have to bear. They have to deal with things that guys never have to worry about. But as a personal thing, when you talked about if I tried to make it funny so it wouldn't be uncomfortable, I was like, oh, I know guys like that.
I think I just finally, that's what hit me. This past month when I wrote it, that line came out, and I realized that I, with all of the image consulting and the stylists and all of the different looks, like if you Google Jess Godwin, there's so many photos of me in so many different looks out there, and I was so embarrassed for so long that I thought that if I just joked about it to everyone, I'd be okay with it, but like, I wasn't okay.
Yeah.
And, to this day, it's still something I fight with, that I felt like that was a sign of weakness on my part. But by coming clean and being like, you know, I tried to make it funny and it's not.
Right.
And we did make a. I think the video's funny.
I think it's
funny. The video's funny with the, and the girls popping in and out.
You guys are
did you guys enjoy making the video?
Yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
It looks like it looks from the video because, as Ashley mentioned before, the space was limited.
Yes.
So you guys are like right on top of each other as you're coming into frame and you're doing the different things and you're holding up the props for Jess. How many girls were in there? How many were with you two?
About 10?
Yeah. 10.
In my living room.
In my living room. Yes.
But you guys are used to being disciplined dancers, and so you can work in a confined space, correct?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
No, we wanted bigger. We wanted a bigger dressing room, trailer. Did you have riders when you signed up to work with Jess? Did you have to leave all the green M&Ms out of your... Out of your treats? No?
No.
Pizza.
There was pizza.
That's good.
That made me happy.
Yes. There was really good pizza.
Yeah.
Wow, you sprung for the good pizza?
DiGiorno.
It was DiGiorno. We actually had a mom made
it. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, the moms made it.
The moms made it in the kitchen.
I think DiGiorno, more of this branding. Now DiGiorno should get involved.
It's not just delivery.
It's not.
It's DiGiorno.
And there is no shame in eating DiGiorno.
There's no shame.
No shame in eating DiGiorno.
Oh, no.
So... You have this vision. You have this song. You wrote the song. And you coordinate with Ashley. Now you come up with the video. Is there... You mentioned you were a little nervous releasing this song. How do you get over that nervousness and say, you know what, the message is bigger than my nerves. And it's more important for people to hear this than for me to be potentially uncomfortable for a little bit.
You know, I just took a leap. I think that when I shared it with Ashley, it felt great. When I shared it with my friend Kat, it felt great. When I shared it with my boyfriend, it felt great. And I didn't feel shame as a result of sharing the song Shame. And I have to say that my friends have been so wonderfully supportive. And I just feel so great afterwards. I just encourage you or anyone, to open up and come clean and be honest, because it feels good to be honest about things.
Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about the message that you really want to send to young women. Because, you know, as the father of a daughter, I see the things that my daughter and her friends have gone through high school and now into college. And some of it's rough. And they do, you know, as strong as young women can be, there's still that part that goes, why? I don't want to. People to talk about me like this. I don't want to feel like this. So we'll get into that a little bit. Plus, let's do this now because we're going to give some people a chance to go see it. So tell us about these super secret shows that you do every month.
Oh, my goodness. We had the first one last night.
Okay.
Last night. Man, I'm from Chicago, aren't I?
Yeah, last night. My mom was there. Everybody was there. It was fantastic.
We had the first one last night. I even did it again. There were 25 people there, and I did a private, intimate house concert show.
Cool.
It was so, I loved it. It was so special. And then when I finished, I invited some people to come up and just do an impromptu open mic. And I thought that people would be mingling, but everyone stayed and listened. And then I had an arts and craft table as well, because I'm all about people making art for the sake of making art. But it was a really, really special night. And so I opened it up again for December 10th.
Okay.
And I would love to give 2 free tickets away to anybody interested in coming December 10th, I guess.
Then let's make it the 10th caller. Cody, we're going to do 10th caller at 312-981-7200. You can go see Jess, and this is part of the Muses project.
Yes.
So you'll be playing Shame and the ones that have come before.
Doing some live looping, and I don't know. It's nice to just sit down in a living room and talk to people.
And people are saying, you didn't tell us where the concert is. Aha,
secret.
That's the secret. So how do people find out then where to go? They're just holding these tickets, wandering the streets, going, I hear there's a song somewhere. There might be a dancer. I don't know.
Well, you have to RSVP, purchase the ticket online, and they'll go fast because there's only 25, and I'll send you the address.
Ah.
And for the 10th caller, I will also throw in a CD.
Wow, look at that.
That I just printed of 15 of my favorite songs from the past 2 years.
And if people don't get those and they still want tickets, where do they go to get these tickets before they're gone?
You can go to, if you Google December Muses, M-U-S-E-S, or you can go on my Facebook page, Jess Godwin on Facebook, or my Instagram or Twitter, Godwin Anthology, and I'll be posting about this music show.
Very good. All right, so 10th caller there. Then we'll talk a little bit more with Jess, and then we got to hear a little bit more. I I've got to ask the girls, because you started dancing so young, so I have to get a little more information, because I have not stuck with anything that long. So I'm interested to hear about the discipline that goes into being a dancer for that many years. So we'll do all of that and wrap things up on the other side. It's WGN. This is where I start. Yep. So busy talking to all the ladies. This is B from Jess Godwin. Her request. A Jess Godwin instant request. We're talking about her latest project, Muses, and the song she just released called Shame. In partnership with the Dancers Awareness Project, the ladies from Dancers Awareness Project are here as well. We've got Ashley Rockwood. She is the founder of Dancers Awareness Project. And Aaron and Camille are two of the dancers that were featured in the video. You guys did a wonderful job. So I want to go around, because Jess, I know we talked about the message and what this song should be for young women who are listening, but it could be for anybody. So what message do you want to get out there? And then I'm going to find out from the ladies, because we've got women of different ages here who were all involved in this project, and what the message was to them.
Oh, I have so many things to say. What I've loved about the responses to the song and video is I think everyone has a different interpretation of the message. I mean, for me, I just encourage anyone, not just women. I have to get closer. To, you know, not let people tell you who you are. You know, I think that we like to label and put people in boxes.
Well, sure.
And I think that, like, we're allowed to be all of those things and none of those things.
Yeah.
That's what's so beautiful about being a complex human. And just to be mindful of the little things we say to other people. And also remember that when somebody says something to us, just try not to let it
fester.
Yeah. Fester's a good word for that.
Yeah, because it just rots away.
So, you know, this is not only a message, it's becoming my mission. And I think it has been my mission for a while, because I've gone into schools and to talk to young women about authenticity and positive body image. So starting in 2017, I'm starting a campaign to take these messages contained in the video into the Chicago public school system.
Great.
And beyond, hopefully, as part of my mission.
Yeah.
So including testing in classrooms, I've already formed partnerships with CPS teachers to begin the school program. I know some of you listeners are some of the most engaged and intelligent people in our community.
And you're not buttering them up.
I'm buttering you guys
up. Not at all.
And I'd love to have a dialogue with anyone who would like to be a part of this mission and who would like to help me get my message and my music into schools. You can contact me directly at godwinanthology@gmail.com.
There you go, godwinanthology@gmail.com. It is, all right, let me talk to the younger ladies first. So, Camille, you heard the song. Did you hear it before you went to perform in the video? Had you heard it before, or did you hear it first that day?
I heard it before a couple times for actually about an hour, just hearing it, and so, yeah.
And when you heard it and you knew you were going to perform in the video, what did the song mean to you personally? Did it mean anything to you personally?
Yeah, I actually got like a message from this. I felt that the song told us like that we don't have to fit into like a box or a label, and that you should be yourself and not what society wants you to be.
Yeah, because people, I'm sure, you know, people hear, oh, you're a dancer, so they have a preconceived notion of what a young girl who's a dancer is going to be, right?
Yeah, there is like a certain image they expect when they think of a dancer or a ballet dancer. So,
and you could shatter that image every day, right?
Yeah, like a dancer shouldn't just be an image. It should be you're just passionate about what you do, and that's why you do it.
Very cool. And what about you, Aaron? Had you heard the song before you performed that day?
Yeah, actually, in the one rehearsal that we had.
Don't rehearse too much. It takes all the spontaneity away.
Exactly.
So the message actually... there's so much pressure being a ballet dancer that you have to be so perfect and you have to be so precise. And, you know, you have to have thick skin as a dancer. And the message is just, you know, don't shame your body image or the way you dance, because these teachers are really tough. And they're trying to really pull something out of you deep inside that makes your dancing just like 20 times more passionate, and because you should already be passionate about it. So
well, you have to be as committed as you guys have been since two and 3 years old to to get to the point you are now. So, Ashley, you're a couple years older than these girls.
Just a few.
Just a couple. still barely able to vote, which I find fascinating.
Exactly.
But what did so we know what it meant to younger women. What did it mean to a professional
Well,
woman?
You know, I also started dancing when I was 2 years old. And as someone who has, like, spent her entire life chasing this passion and this dream, it's just been so incredible to work with young people and to give them comfort in being unique and being different and being multifaceted and loving themselves and sharing. And I'm just, it's an honor to really share that message with this group.
Very nice. Well, Jess, congratulations again on another wonderful project and a meaningful project. You know, a lot of people put out just, oh, glitzy, hey, I'm going to do a pop song that means nothing. But the passion that you show, to echo these ladies' words, and the commitment and the mission, I think is worthwhile, and I'm happy to help spread the word. And I'm going to ask you a favor after we're done here. Congratulations. People need to go to GodwinAnthology.com. They will, the video will be up there. I promise. I don't run the website, but I know Jess will put that up.
I'll put it up tonight. Or you can go on Facebook.
You go Facebook. Yeah, it is all over Facebook. Yeah. And it's Jess Godwin on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
So go watch the very talented young women from the Dancers Awareness Project and Jess Godwin in the new video for Shame. It's a wonderful song and a great project. And don't forget, you can go, if you're lucky enough to get some of those tickets for the big December 10th show. Mm-hmm. And by big, I mean 25 people in an intimate secret locale.
Right now it's 22. I just sold 3 tickets.
All right.
And 20, actually. It would be 19.
19. Oh, God.
Yeah, there's not too many.
Oh, there
either way, you better act fast.
Go quick.
That's all I'm talking about. Let's do this, and we got to go to news. It's WGN.
Thank you.
Karen is off tonight. She is vacationing in a some tropical climate. I don't know where she went. She doesn't tell me. Because she knows if she tells me that I'll try to get a hold of her. I'll call her. Because I'm always in a legal scrape. But Karen is off. She will be I almost said she'll be back with us next week. She'll be back with us January 1st. I can't hammer that home enough. That's why. So the Blackhawks are playing. We'll be back on Sunday nights, January 1st. You can always hear the podcast at WGNRadio.com. We'll be creating new ones throughout the next few weeks. So check back often. We'll remind you on Facebook. And the newest one will be, well, you can see part of it tonight. Right after this show, we'll go on Facebook and we will begin the podcast. And we have just confirmed a guest for our big holiday spectacular project. I'm going to say it, so now she can't back out. The wonderful Jess Godwin is going to come in, do some Christmas songs on the podcast. Roger, you know you're invited. You have to be here. It's a Wednesday night.
I can do Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, the 21st of December. At probably between 8 and 8:30, we'll go live on Facebook.
All right.
And we'll record the first. We'll do the first part of the podcast there, and the rest will continue. And you can listen to it on WGNRadio.com. All right. I want to get into this because I've been trying to make sense of a news story that I think is a pretty big news story, but it isn't getting a lot of coverage. And I find that I'm getting a lot of the information through social media. And we know that that can be dangerous because it came out just over the election cycle that a lot of the things that we find on the internet, as if we didn't know this, might be fake news. But I'm seeing a lot of things regarding the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation and the Dakota Access Pipeline and the protests that have been going on in North Dakota for the last couple of months. What I'm not seeing is a lot of coverage on the more traditional newscasts. I heard a very brief bit about it this morning on both the network and a local TV newscast because the Army Corps of Engineers has now told the protesters that they have to leave the land that they've made their camp on by December 9th, or by December 5th, rather. They're telling the protesters you have to leave. The protesters are saying, no, we're not going to leave. And I've been trying to do some research to figure out the facts of this because as I look at it from the social media perspective, and I'm watching videos that are being put out by the tribe, and videos that are being put out by other people who side and take the same position as the tribe, I find that I have a very one-sided opinion of this. So I was talking to Cody, and I said, listen, we got to talk about this, because one, I'm not sure where the credible information is supposed to come from. And two, why aren't we covering this more? And I guess I can direct that, and I'm not picking on you, Roger, when I ask you about mm-hmm. this, but since you're the news guy here tonight, I'm seeing images from these protests of basically an army mm-hmm. facing off against unarmed people. It reminds me, and I don't mean to be hyperbolic, mm-hmm. of Tiananmen Square, where the one kid is facing down a tank. If you see some of these images coming out, the militarized police force of not only the local police in North Dakota, but the county, all the law enforcement that's coming from various states, these are heavily armed SWAT paramilitary police forces. And this is not an anti law enforcement talk. I have no problem with law enforcement. I know they're doing their job. I'm talking about the imagery there and the fact that it's happening on American soil and we're not really hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, what are we going to report every day that nothing has changed? Well, we're getting reports that these protesters are being hosed with water cannons mm-hmm. in sub-freezing temperatures. They're being shot with rubber bullets. They're being, if you watch the videos, and I know video can be manipulated, but you hear somebody got, there was some pepper spray. You think of the little personal pepper spray that maybe you have in your purse or in your wallet. These protesters being pepper sprayed with canisters the size of large fire hydrants, and law enforcement is just hosing them down. Then you have the private security from the oil company that was using dogs on protesters. Right. That's a scene we haven't seen since the civil rights movement, and one that I didn't think we'd see here again, all of which brings me back to why isn't this story getting more coverage?
All right. Well, I can only speak for myself.
Of course.
But over the last 5 days that I've been working here now,
okay.
I've had shifts. When that...
And we wish you had more. There, I'll throw that out.
I appreciate it. But when that was happening, in fact, I think that was that came across on Wednesday night when I came in. But I was only doing the traffic, but I continued it. It was also last weekend.
It's been going on for months.
For a while,
and Monday there was a woman who was seriously injured by an explosion, and there's still varying accounts of whether it was the police that used a concussion grenade or whether, and the police are saying it was the protesters who set off some sort of explosion.
But I do remember last weekend when the hoses came out and the temperatures were dropping below freezing.
Right.
And the health members of the tribes, because it's not just one tribe.
No,
many tribes
from
now.
All over the country
right.
have come to
exactly
to back. And go ahead.
Well, what I was saying is, I was reporting on that. We had audio from the scene. We reported in our newscast because it was an ongoing situation. Mm-hmm. That there were tanks out there. There were armored vehicles with these hoses. They were spraying the people to try to get them off the land. And when that didn't work, they have turned to the courts, and they have the tribes have filed suit. And so a lot of this has been reported by us here. Its place in the news on your network news stations, on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN, on those, you're right. It is not receiving, in my personal opinion, stepping down from my newsperson's right. box, in my personal opinion, it's not receiving the serious coverage amongst all the other news that's going on in the world. It is not receiving the serious coverage that I feel it should be receiving.
Well, TV journalism is image-based because it's TV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the images up there are ones that people would watch and pay attention to.
Exactly.
There is absolutely no reason that this is going on except for the fact that it's being ignored and it's being marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know if it's a thing where we just go, well, you know, Native Americans, we can take the land. It's the land's the land. You don't really own the land. And according to the tribe, they're saying even the land that the camp is on
mm-hmm.
is owned by the Sioux through a more than century-old treaty with the U.S. government. Now, we know, and I'm going to throw in qualifiers, Cody, because even though it feels like I'm softening things, I throw them out just to make sure that listeners who are not really paying attention don't miss what this is about. I love America. All right. Not in a fake jingoistic, I'm going to wave a flag and listen to Toby Keith albums way. And I do listen to Toby Keith. But in the fact that when I say that we know that the U.S. has not always honored its treaties with Native Americans, that is historical fact. That doesn't mean I am anti-America. That means I am pro-fact. Which I know in this day and age, being pro-fact is almost like being anti-America.
Facts are subjective.
Facts are stupid.
It's 2016, Brian. Facts don't matter. You get to decide what facts are real.
Well, and, you know, the argument about where this pipeline is actually going is one of the main concerns, because the tribe is saying that it's going over sacred lands and sacred burial grounds, and it's infringing on the reservation. The pipeline is saying, no, it butts up along the reservation, but it's not that. But their main complaint isn't about the land. That's a big one. But it's the fact that the pipeline is going under the Missouri River, which is the reservation's main water source. They're talking about the fact that there are going to be occurrences on the pipeline, which if you do any research on how many occurrences, meaning a leak, a break, something going wrong with the pipeline, these happen at an alarming rate. So they're talking about the environmental impact that this pipeline is going to have not only on them, but on the surrounding communities. And the fact that, and the president put an injunction on the part that's going under the Missouri River till it can be reestablished. Now, the Corps of Engineers is saying that they're actually looking at alternate routes. The energy company is saying, well, we're not going to accept any alternate routes. This is where the pipeline is going. But back to the fact that these protesters are being tortured by, you know, by law enforcement. They have a right to protest. They don't need to be facing an army to do it. You know, I know, Cody, you were very upset about this when we said we were going to talk about it.
Every pipeline this country has is, name a pipeline that hasn't leaked. Like, this pipeline's going to leak.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You know, the argument from that I have seen, some of the arguments, you know, say that, you know, some of the pipelines that have leaked, are, you know, they're 40, 50, 60 years old. That's the reason they're leaking. Well, this pipeline's going to be 40, 50, 60 years old in 40 or 50 or 60 years. Mm-hmm. It's going to dump oil everywhere. It's not going to be good. Like, these pipelines aren't good. They're objectively really awful. And
the argument for them is that they'll reduce truck traffic, which they say is even more dangerous, and rail traffic of transporting the oil, which according to sources or experts on oil transportation is more dangerous, they claim, than putting it through a pipeline. If you have, they cite an incident in Canada, it was a year ago or something, where a train hauling crude oil derailed and it destroyed the whole town. The explosion leveled the town, basically. So they're saying this way with the pipeline, it's much safer, and it is not going to cause the kind of environmental impact that some of these others might.
Well, who's it going to make money for?
Well, we know who it's going to make money for. It's making money for the oil company.
Yeah.
Well, the oil, listen, we're a country that is always using oil. We use a lot of oil. This is an 1,172-mile pipeline. An estimated 7.4 billion barrels of undiscovered oil is up there in the Bakken Formation, which is where they're going to start getting this from in North Dakota. And then it will come down, and the pipeline ends here in Illinois.
And, yeah, in Peoria.
Yeah, and so they're going to be making, I forget the exact number. I will find it. Thousands of gallons of gas every day.
Yeah.
374.3 million gallons of gasoline per day from the oil that will be pumped down from there.
Yeah, it's not worth it to me. I think it's just going to end up in spills. Yeah. I think that we have had the technology to really, really heavily reduce carbon emissions in automobiles for decades at this point, and it's being shut down by the oil lobbies. You know, everyone could drive a hybrid car now, but there's issues of production and all these other things. I don't know. I just feel like this is just this new pipeline is just another swirl down the toilet of destroying the environment for corporate profit. And that makes me sound like a hippie, but you know what? Like,
well, we
call it like I see it.
Yeah,
and
but we want the oil. We definitely want the oil. You can shake your head because you don't have a car. I want gas for my car.
Yeah, you're right.
If there's gas here and I don't have to get it from a foreign country and deal with that, if I can be self-sufficient in this country with the oil we have here, I want that oil, but I also don't want to take the chance of, you know, ruining a water supply that feeds a good segment of this country.
Yeah.
You know, the Missouri River's pretty important.
Yeah.
We need to keep that clean. So we need to figure out, is there a way, one, and we also need to respect where these pipelines are being put. If the pipeline is going through an area that you know there's burial grounds, there's all, let's move the pipeline a little bit. Let's lay out the map. Reconfigure it a little bit. Let's see if, is there a better way than going underneath the river so that if there is some sort of breach.
When there is some sort of breach. Look at the BP oil spill. They destroyed the Gulf, you know. Millions of gallons of oil, and no one paid for it, by the way. I mean, no one. Would they give them, like, $100 fine or something?
No. They had to do all the cleanup.
It was not that big of a hit for that oil company. So this pipeline will rupture. It will poison and destroy a bunch of people. It will. I will mark the tape. I guarantee you in the next 40 or 50 years, a bunch of water is going to be horribly contaminated. People will get sick. It's going to be worse than Flint. It's going to be terrible. And, even without
there's already 8 pipelines that cross the Missouri River.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't had any problem yet. But according, all experts say that it's not a question of if, it is a question of when.
I'm an expert.
Well, you're not an expert. I'm talking about people who,
I'm kind of an expert.
Nah.
I'm an expert at Final Fantasy XIV.
You're an expert on spouting your liberal agenda.
Is that the agenda?
That's what the texters are saying about both of us.
I'm not even reading the text because I'm sure they are brutal. Because I know how I sound. I know I sound like I sound like a millennial. I sound like a tree-hugging hippie millennial that's just all kumbaya,
anti-business,
anti-oil, anti-big. And I know that every baby boomer listening to this show right now hates me. They absolutely hate me and everything I stand for. But I'm sorry. This is what I think a lot of people.
There's nothing wrong with saying what you believe in. I think the fact that we are treating these people as an invading force is a shame.
Yeah.
It's shameful. There has to be a way to reach a compromise. I'm not against the drilling for this oil. I'm not against it coming here to Illinois and creating jobs and creating cheaper gas and lessening our desire or our need to be sustained by somebody else's oil. I'm all for that. But I'm also not for the police turning water hoses on people in sub-freezing temperatures. I'm not for people being shot with rubber bullets because they're protesting something that they believe strongly in. You know, there's got to be... And I'm not for a company that says, we're doing it this way, and that's it. We're not going to listen to the Army Corps of Engineers. We're not going to listen to the concerns of residents. We're doing it this way because this is best for us. That's when you cross the line into into pure greed. When you just say, I'm not going to compromise at all. And there's ways to do this. But to see people standing there or people on horseback facing down tanks, something's wrong. And we need to get this settled. And we need to get it settled because once December 5th comes and you start arresting these protesters because you say they're trespassing, but they say they're on land that they are entitled to be on because of a treaty with our government, it's going to get even uglier. Uglier than it's been for the last few months. And God forbid a law enforcement officer gets hurt or killed, or a protester gets killed. This woman who had an arm injury from the explosion may lose her arm. She's a journalist who was covering this for NPR. So she's not some crazed lunatic. She's a journalist. Well, now she might lose her arm. This is just going to escalate. We need to shine a light on it now. We need to get the government involved in it and find out what's going on and what can we do to stop it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. If you want to weigh in, that's great. We love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. We ran a little long, but you know what? We got things to say on WGN. We're talking about this now. Somebody sent a link to Dakota Standing Rock Fact Checker, which is good. And then you look, I was like, all right, it's a fact checker. Well, who is fact checking it? The Midwest Alliance for Infrastructure Now, Maine, it's called, a partnership of more than 40 civic, business, labor, and agricultural groups who support the economic development and energy security benefits associated with infrastructure projects in the U.S. All right, so this brings me back to an elemental point. Where do we find the real story? Because I'm looking at this and go, well, okay, it says it's a fact checker, but it's by a group that, you know, they're focused on infrastructure and building, and there's nothing wrong with that, but maybe their facts are going to be a little skewed. And then if I go straight to, I don't know, if I go to other sites or watch these videos, well, my opinion is going to be skewed by that. They're giving me a message based solely on what they want. So where do we find the truth? Or is there a truth? Is there a truth, or is there just everybody's opinion?
Do you think it says something that it's not being covered, though? It says
yes,
something.
Yes, there's something that it's not. It's big business, and we know big business has a lot of pull. But I don't know. Is it not being covered because of the group that is protesting? Do we
racism?
Not?
Racism?
Could it be racism against Native Americans? I don't know. But why else? Roger, why else wouldn't it be covered? Why do you think? As an experienced journalist, not as Roger Badish, WGN reporter, but as a journalist, why do you think there's a lack of coverage?
A couple of ideas.
Okay, make again. Them quick, because we got to get to all your right. news.
Well, first of all, it's a local story right now. It is the Dakota Pipeline, where the protest is taking place. It is considered, though it's the pipeline goes a long distance, covers many states.
Four states, yep.
It is a local story because it's happening there. It's not a necessarily like a Black Lives Matters nationwide strike or protest.
I heard more coverage of the 10 people shot in the French Quarter day, which to me is a big deal because it's, you know, New Orleans.
You see the forest fires in California.
Right,
you see forest fires anywhere on the West
Coast. I heard a lot of coverage about, and thank God she's okay, the mom in California who was kidnapped and then found on Thanksgiving
again,
morning.
Because that is, and I can't do in 30 seconds an entire unit on news reporting.
Why
like
not?
I used to
can't
teach.
You give us the cliffs?
That took
all right, listen,
2 months.
Then we're gonna,
but here's
then,
the deal.
Yes,
I'll quickly. Say it. This is an ongoing story. Those two stories, those three or four that were just mentioned, are what we call breaking news stories. You will not hear any more about it after a 48 hours news cycle. The event happening right now with the North Dakota Pipeline is an ongoing story. There is nothing new, quote unquote, that is currently happening as people are waiting for the deadline to come up or any court action to take place.
Okay.
That is an ongoing story. Now,
fair enough.
In our news that we get here,
Roger,
from some of our news sources, real fast,
we're waiting.
I know,
okay.
Real fast,
news that we're cutting into.
We are hearing about it in our news updates because the pipeline comes into Illinois because it ends here. So we're getting updates about that story happening where the protests are.
Right.
Here, because we're connected to
okay.
it through the length of the pipeline. The rest of the country is not getting this as a top story because it's not happening though.
Okay. Well, then that's why we have to go to social media and everywhere else. And memes. Need a lot more memes about every issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need. You know what else we need to do? This, then news, WGN. You guys having a conversation back there?
We
had a little thing, a little private time, you
we're
and Roger.
Okay. We're all right.
You want cuddle time back there?
We're just talking about you.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's why I'm calling you out. All right. So what else do I have to tell them about that? Nothing. So we'll do the podcast after the show. I know. I was very upset when I heard, where was that, Tennessee or Kentucky? Where'd they win the lottery?
Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I kicked myself last
night. I
think I
have relatives there.
I don't. I've been to Tennessee.
Why'd you kick yourself?
Because I didn't buy my ticket. And all of a sudden they were doing the drawing and I was like, like if I had bought a ticket, I would have won. But
right.
There's a party that goes, I forgot to buy my ticket.
Yeah.
So now I'm out. And then I prayed that no one would win last night. So it would mm-hmm. be like a bazillion dollars on Wednesday. And yet somebody won. Good for them.
Yeah.
I say through clenched teeth with my fingers crossed.
How did you buy for the next one? It's 40 million. Starts out at 40.
40's nothing. 40, I don't bother. I don't bother finding a machine for 40. Give me up to 400. Then daddy's interested.
Yeah, but if you buy now and it doesn't, you know, if it rolls over every week, then you're okay.
No, that I still got to keep buying again.
Oh,
if I wait till it's big,
mm-hmm.
you know, my odds are the same for 40 as they are for 400.
Yeah, that's true.
So why bother?
Yeah.
You know, because what's 20 million going to do for me? Nothing.
A lot.
Not going to change my life. Not
yeah.
at all. You know.
All right, fine. Be happy, Mr. Moneybags.
Listen, if I had 20 million, no one would see me again. No one. Absolutely no one. And I'm talking wife, kid, everybody. I'm out. Where's Brian? Who?
Who?
Exactly. I'd be like the cloud of dust that the Roadrunner leaves behind. That's mm-hmm. how fast I'd be gone once I cashed that check. And I would cash it.
Of course.
I would, like Chuck Berry, I would make the lottery officials give me cash in a briefcase. Of course, it'd probably be a pallet full of money.
Well, you wouldn't get the full $20-40 million, though.
No, you'd get like 20.
Yeah, right.
I've never seen $20 million in cash. I'm guessing it's a lot. It's not going to fit in a duffel bag.
Or Cody's messenger bag.
It's going to fit in, you know, it's got to be a pallet. So then I got to get a truck.
Right.
Or maybe I just take a check and deposit it. Take out little bits at a time. I don't want to be walking around with a wad of $20 million
in my
pocket.
Well, but if you take out a little bit at a time, they deposit it into your account. So now you're stuck with having an account. So now people know where you are.
Right. But
you don't want them to know where you are.
No, of course I don't want them to know where they are. That's why my money will be in some offshore account.
Oh.
I've watched enough television.
Okay.
I know how to do this.
Okay.
I find someone disreputable. And then I have them put my money in an offshore account.
They launder it.
And then they I launder it through a legitimate business. Even though me winning the lottery is a legitimate business, I don't really have to launder my money.
Okay,
I didn't make it selling coke or human trafficking. I won it. But then that financial advisor rips me off. Suddenly I have no money. Then I have to go on a campaign of vengeance.
Yeah.
Which would be fun, I think. Maybe I skip the $20 million and just go on a campaign of vengeance for real or perceived slights. That might be fun too.
Yeah, but how do you fund the campaign of vengeance?
Exactly. Well, I would have to fund the campaign of vengeance. Good idea, the GoFundMe page. I would have to fund the campaign of vengeance if the investment guy took all my money. I'd still have no money, just like I do now. So I'm actually in the same position now as I would be had I put my money in an offshore account and the disreputable financial advisor stole it from me. So I might as well not wait and start my campaign of vengeance now.
Oh,
you know, I was thinking about a career in disreputable financial advising.
Yeah.
And now you've talked me out of it because I don't want to deal with the vengeance campaigns.
Well, there's always a campaign of vengeance. People went after Bernie Madoff. They go after anybody who steals their money. And I don't blame them. If I had money and somebody stole it, I would go after them as well. So now, happy holidays. I'm starting my campaign of vengeance. Who will be the first to feel my wrath? I'm not telling. Just know it will be fast. It will be painful.
Can I be your trusty sidekick?
No. I travel alone. Plus, you'd talk too much. They'd know you were coming. They'd know you were coming from a mile away. And then you would, you couldn't wait to talk about it. You'd go on some other show. Where being my trusty sidekick is a Brian Noonan show exclusive. Cody knows. Cody doesn't get invited out on other shows. But you, you're a social gadfly.
I don't get invited on other shows. Why is that?
I don't know.
Figure it out. Because I don't shower, because that's discrimination.
No, there's no.
I don't smell that bad.
Somebody's correcting me. It'd be 14 million. The scenario still remains the same.
Yeah.
If I had 14 million and some financial guy stole it from me, I would still mount a campaign of vengeance. Yes, and I would do it through the thick and gushing oil. That's my campaign of vengeance. I would slog through oil fields or whatever I had to do to exact my vengeance. Because that's what you do. You exact your vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take it.
You don't approximate
it.
Your vengeance.
No, I exact
my vengeance.
Because
then it's not completed. You know, you still have lingering doubts.
No.
You have to exact, because then it's done, finished, you move on.
Oh, yes. I know. Listen, I know a thing or two about vengeance. I don't need a tutorial on vengeance. You couldn't give me a tutorial on journalism, and you're a journalist.
I did.
You can't presume to now give me a tutorial on vengeance when I don't believe you've exacted any vengeance on anyone ever.
No, not that anyone knows.
Well, sure. I don't believe that to be the case. All right. So anyway, that's that. We'll do some of the cool toys, but let me do this story first because it made me happy. Because I don't understand people sometimes. These two guys in Virginia, they decide they're going to go to the store because they got to get some sliced cheese.
Ooh.
Got to get a little Kraft cheese, you know. real American cheese slices. I don't know what they're making. Maybe they're making grilled cheese. Who knows? Doesn't matter.
That's fair.
Doesn't matter what they're using the cheese for. The point is they go to CVS, which is a questionable decision right there. Why go to CVS for your cheese? I know CVS sells some grocery items.
They have a freezer section, yeah.
Sure, maybe it's right by the house. All right, I'm going to give it to them. They went to CVS out of convenience.
Probably the closest thing, sure.
I'll give them that. All right. So they go to CVS. This guy, Rick Barry, not the basketball player.
Okay.
Just a guy, Rick Barry.
The guy that's saying, let's get it on?
No, that's who is that? That's not Rick Barry at all.
No, let's get it on.
Let's get it on. It was Marvin Gaye.
Oh.
Yeah, not Barry White. Is it Barry? Is he thinking about Barry White?
I was thinking Chuck Berry.
Chuck, not even Chuck Berry.
This is not Chuck Berry.
Yeah, I get my names
or
mixed
Rick
up.
Berry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Or Rick Astley. It's none of those.
That was a misfire.
Or Steve Perry.
Yeah. That's who I thought it was, who he was talking about first.
No.
No.
But anytime we get to play a little Let's Get It On, I'm happy. You know?
That's why I did it.
Let's get it on.
Aw, yeah. It's been a while since we got our Swerve on here on a Sunday night. I feel very fluid in my hips now. They're just gyrating around. Now, mark that down. I'm sure we have to pay for that. anyway, so Barry and his roommate go to CVS because they were trying to get it on. They asked an employee if they sold sliced cheese. The worker kindly replied that they did not. A few minutes later, the employee, all of the store employees, in fact, were nowhere to be found. Everybody in the store disappears.
Lunch break? This is
where it gets weird. That part should be weird to me, but it's not. The fact that everybody in CVS disappeared, Here's the weird part. Hold on.
All right.
Roger.
Well, I'm
timing.
I'm into this.
I'll get to it if I'm not interrupted.
Sorry.
So Barry and his roommate said they were in the store with another customer for more than 30 minutes before the police showed up. So all the employees disappear, and they stay in the store for 30 minutes looking for employees. What? First of all, a CVS isn't that big that it would take 30 minutes to go up and down every aisle and go, hey, man, there's nobody here. This is weird. He said, the roommate said, we looked around for probably 30, 45 minutes, and we couldn't find anybody. They were stoned. Come on. Who is wandering around CVS looking for sliced cheese and then going for 45 minutes? Dude, there's nobody here. There is nobody here. That's weird. It's weird, isn't it? The third customer also must have been stoned, because he was as confused as the two roommates, according to this story, because Chuck Berry said he was in the store. Not Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry got involved sometimes because he heard cheese and he showed up, because Chuck Berry notorious for his love of sliced cheese. The other customer was in the store before they were. He had a bad tooth. All he wanted was some Orajel. Couldn't find anybody there either. We were walking around trying to find an employee, and the cop himself ended up opening up the emergency door and set the alarm off. A couple minutes later, he got a call from the alarm company asking what was going on. So the officer then joins in the search. So now you've got three customers and a cop all wandering around this CVS wondering where all the employees are. And making jokes about how it's like a post-apocalyptic thing. And this is how all zombie movies start, when everybody has just disappeared. So they're all wondering, you know where they found the employees? Of course you don't. I have the story. I'll tell you. They found them in the back of the storeroom, hiding in a locked room. So they made a few calls. The officers then came out and told the customers they had to leave. They were being kicked out because the employees were scared of them. I don't know. This is another one of those stories. Remember last week I told the story about the change on the podcast?
Yeah.
And if you didn't hear that, you need to go listen to that podcast, because Cody was flummoxed. Flummoxed. I don't get this one either. He just told us that we need to leave the premises or else we would be arrested for trespassing, and that flipped the script on all of us, said Barry. We had no idea what was going on. The officer was very kind and was just doing what he was told to do. But even people at CVS, a CVS spokesperson, has no idea. They apologized and said the employee who called the police will be interviewed and possibly be retrained and told not to be afraid of a cheese request. Imagine, like, say we walked into Walgreens across the street And they have all sorts of food items and beer and all sorts of things. And I asked for some sliced cheese. And all of a sudden, every employee disappeared and we found them hiding back in the cooler because I scared them. That just seems... I don't understand any part of this story other than a desire for cheese.
I mean, you're only hearing it from the guys, right?
This isn't from the guy's diary. This is a news report.
But did the news report interview the employees? Maybe the guys were really rude or aggressive or something, or made a joke.
But enough to scare every employee so they lock themselves in a room?
Yeah, that's
what could you say about not having cheese that would scare someone enough to make them lock themselves in a closet? I'm going to hit you with a cow. What are you doing? What is it? What is so? I'm going to pasteurize your ass. What are you going to say to them that is so scary? Nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on in Virginia, why people are so skittish, but CBS needs to look into this. Sounds very... Somebody texted, it sounds like the start of a Stephen King movie. It does. Where all of a sudden, I went in to buy some cheese. And again, I'm going back and amending my initial statement. Don't go to CVS for cheese. I know they have grocery stores in Virginia. I've been to Virginia. It's a wonderful state. Go to a grocery store. They got Piggly Wiggly's down there, Winn-Dixie. They got all sorts of grocery stores.
Do you think the roommates are on a campaign of vengeance?
No, but they will be now. For if I were thrown out of a CVS merely for requesting cheese, you're on my list. Under the guy who stole my $14 million, then it's the CVS employees who got me hustled out by the cops because I wanted cheese. So far, it's a short list. But trust me, by the time we're done with the podcast, there'll be a couple more names on that list.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how fast my need for vengeance rises. That fast. All right, let's do this. Then there's more. More vengeance? Who knows? All right. Listen, I was on the wrong screen, trying to wrap things up. I know. I switched screens to play Let's Get It On, and I didn't switch it back, and that's very inside radio, so we won't bore people with that. That was the arcade music. That would have been some arcade music. All right, I mentioned I had a supermom that I wanted to talk about. This woman did more in one morning than most of us do in a week. Rhoda D. Costanza. She is a woman who lives in Tacoma, Washington. So this is how her Thanksgiving starts. She gets up early in the morning. She's going to make some, she makes dough for her dinner rolls that she's going to make for Thanksgiving dinner. That sounds good. You're up early, you're baking bread. Fantastic. Then she's like, ooh, while my dough rises, I'm going to go do a triathlon. How about that? So she goes out and she runs a triathlon. Runs, swims, bikes, competes in a triathlon. Finishes the triathlon. As she's crossing the finish line, she falls and she breaks two of her fingers. Oh my goodness. I've got dough rising. I'm tired from my triathlon. Now I've got to go to the emergency room and I've got to get my fingers fixed. So she goes to the emergency room. Well, it also so happens that she is a midwife. So while she's in the emergency room waiting to get her hand fixed, she hears a woman come in wailing. And she said, I heard this lady come in and she was obviously in very active labor and was obviously going to deliver very quickly. You could just hear it. I don't know how you hear active labor, unless the baby is going, get me out of here. Babies don't talk like that at all. Anyway, so now, with two broken fingers, exhaustion from her triathlon, she goes over and delivers the baby. Delivers the baby, gets her hand fixed, goes home, still cooks Thanksgiving dinner for 16 people. What do you think of that? That makes me feel lazy just reading that story. Any of those would have tired me out. Well, the triathlon would have killed me, let's be honest. But if I fall and break a couple fingers, I'm going to whine for weeks. And I'm definitely not going to be going home and cooking dinner. I'm telling everybody, stop at Boston Market, get yourself a turkey breast, and come on by, because I broke my hand and I'm not cooking. But not her. Not Rhoda DiCostanzo. We salute you. So she goes home. This was her quote. What a great day. What a wonderful life I lead. Triathlon, deliver baby, cook dinner, have time with my family and friends. Life is good. How about it? I was just shocked by that. And not shocked. I looked at that and I went, that's what we need more of. We need more feel-good stories. I don't need stories about guys disappearing at CVS because they were stoned and wanted cheese, allegedly. The stoned part, the cheese part is fact. But minimum. That's it. That's it.
Why would they look for cheese, though, if they're stoned? Because cheese is not salty, and when you're stoned, you crave salty foods.
Not everybody. Listen, you're spouting out.
Salt in
listen,
the
you're spouting out
cheese.
All sorts of facts today that you
yeah.
claim are facts that may not actually be facts.
I am speaking from extensive experience getting high in Colorado.
I
thank you very much.
It. Well, I don't.
Where it's legal, by the way.
I don't like to get involved in any of that.
I don't
any
either.
Of your drug
it was,
talk.
It was an experiment.
Your crazy, crazy drug
it was
talk.
Ooh, for
I got
science.
A question.
What?
If
I'm sorry, that came out harsh.
Yeah.
What, Roger? What's your question? What?
Could he be arrested if he got stoned there and was still stoned when he crossed state lines?
Only if he was driving a car.
Erratically.
Right.
Okay.
Well, even if he wasn't erratically, even if he was erratically, you still can't drive a car, even if you're driving it well, quote unquote, while you're under the influence.
I think it's possession of the substance, not being in the state of the substance. Like you can't buy liquor in certain states on a Sunday,
right.
But if you're still drunk from the night before and someone drives you into that state, you're not in trouble.
Mm. If you're being transported,
yeah.
If you've been kidnapped,
I'm thinking
while you were stoned,
there could be more laws there.
Why do you want more laws, nanny state?
Yeah, because
listen,
legislators don't
smoke
have
free
to do.
Or die, brother. Smoke free or die. You don't need to be legislating our weed. And I say R because I've never even seen it. I think I've seen it.
You've seen pictures of it.
I've seen what it does to the kids. I watch Reefer Madness twice a week.
There you go.
Just to stay on top of things.
And I think that I can be arrested by federal authorities.
For
because,
what?
Because it's still illegal nationally, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, I don't know, are the feds following you to get some gummy?
Not that
gummy,
he's supposed to know.
Adjustables?
I mean, I sure hope not. They would have arrested Snoop Dogg by now, one would think.
Snoop DOG is too busy hanging out with Martha Stewart to get arrested.
That's not funny.
It's. Have you seen it?
No, I know you're not making a joke. I'm saying
I'm
that
not
show,
a joke.
I saw the. Well, I saw parts of it. It didn't look that funny. I was surprised.
People were very adamant that they love the pairing of Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart.
I love the pairing. I love Snoop Dogg. I like Martha Stewart. I just didn't think it was comedic gold.
No, but it's being billed as comedic gold.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
All the ingredients are there. See what I did there?
I did. I like how you did it. It's a cooking show. I see what you did. All right. I told you earlier I'd give you a couple of Cyber Monday deals from Amazon. If you're looking for, it's all technology. You're looking for a 50-inch LED, $145.
What? What brand?
It
LG?
Doesn't say what brand.
Oh, yeah. Don't
doesn't
do that.
Say.
Don't buy that.
50-inch 4K Ultra HD Smart TV, which is the newest technology. For $249.99. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it?
What brand?
Again.
Doesn't say.
No. Doesn't say.
Pass. Hard pass.
Up to 50% off select Callaway golf sets, Roger.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
You're a golfer. 50% off.
Callaway, good.
Yeah, Callaway are good. The select
good.
Sets, we don't know. That's a set that only has two clubs.
How much?
50% off.
Ooh.
Yeah, remember, check that out. Ooh, this sounds good. Up to 50% off select Nerf, Play School, or Play-Doh toys. I got to get one. I was in Target last week, walking down the Nerf aisle, and I wanted to buy the biggest Nerf weapons that they had. These Nerf guns, they've got, like, missiles coming out of them, and a Gatling gun set up, and then huge just foam projectiles. It's almost as if Arnold Schwarzenegger is now working for Nerf, and just creating the most unbelievable weapons of non-destruction possible. But I already have a couple of Nerf weapons in my house, and occasionally I will turn them on my wife, which she does not find amusing. So the fact that I would have to have one that I've strapped into, I don't think she'd go for that, even at 50% off.
You got the belts crossed across your chest,
big bandoliers of sponge, just boo-hoo. And I put on some sort of headgear, and I begin, what do I begin? My campaign of vengeance.
Chicago's most accurate forecast.
Get the word out and get it out fast.
From Tom Skilling and the WGN Chicago Weather Center team.
Tom Skilling from the WGN Weather Center.
Today on 720 WGN.
All right, in just a couple minutes, we'll be going live on Facebook for the first part of our web-exclusive podcast. The rest of it will be posted at WGNRadio.com, as all our podcasts are. We will continue to post them throughout the holidays. And don't forget, we will remind you, but don't forget, December 21st, between 8 and 8:30, we will begin our big holiday spectacular podcast with some video, some special guests, and hopefully you getting involved as well. Thank you for listening and being part of the program tonight. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Cody. And but most of all, thank you for listening. And happy holidays, since we won't talk to you again until January 1st. Rick Togan comes your way on the other side of the news. This is, of course, Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It is 9 o'clock with the news. Roger Badish.